2. Kids are dismissed for junior church. James chapter 2, we're going to be verses 14 through 26. There are three kinds of faith the Bible lists, and we're going to look at all three. There is a dead faith, there is a demonic faith, and there is a dynamic faith. Looking at all three of them based on James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Father, we do thank you this morning for what you're going to speak to our hearts about. We do ask, Father, you take away all distractions, that, Father, you would have our full attention. Lord, would you just arrest our attention? Help us, Lord, to be focused on you. Help us, Lord, with all of our heart to seek after you. Because you told us in your word that if we would search for you with all of our heart, we'd find you. And, Father, we desperately need you in our life today. Father, we need you guiding us, directing us, providing for us, protecting us all throughout each and every day, Lord, because time is coming quickly to an end. It may be today that it's somebody's last day upon this earth. And Lord, I pray that every single person in the sound of my voice knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No reason to take a chance on whether or not there's life after death. Father, you have told us in your word that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will stand before you. Those that are saved, trusting in Jesus Christ, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, receiving rewards for what we have done for Christ, and those that have died without Christ will stand at the great white throne judgment, and they will hear, Depart from me, thou that workest iniquity, into the lake of fire. And Father, it's not your will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance, believing on your Son, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would minister to the hearts today, draw us unto you. I pray, Lord, you be with the children as well, Lord, opening up their hearts and minds to help them to understand the Bible lesson. And Father, we ask the word of God would take root in all of our hearts. Help us to be rooted and grounded in Christ, bringing forth much fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring honor and glory to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, James talks about, as he writes to the believers, he talks about just faith that has works. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that it's faith alone. No one is saved by doing anything, but once someone is saved, the life is changed. Something happens. I love using Paul as the example because I think the Bible always uses extreme cases. And Paul was an extreme case. Paul was a religious man who thought he was doing God's service, thought he was following Jehovah, but he was following the devil as he was killing Christians and persecuting And having letters, he would go to the city of Damascus to haul them back, to kill them, to torture them, to imprison them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, again, having died on the cross of Calvary for every single person, stopped Paul on the road to Damascus and told Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was fighting against the Lord. And when Paul asked, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Because Jesus takes it personally when any one of his children is persecuted. He takes it personally. And he comes to our aid. He comes to our defense and comes to our help. And Paul, his life was changed that day. In a moment, he would put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one he was trying to stamp out of everybody's hearts and minds. And yet he would become the great defender of the faith. James here, being a half-brother of Jesus, he writes that there are different types of faith. What faith do you have this morning? And that's a question that you have to answer yourself through this message. But faith is certainly an essential part of the Christian life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, Ephesians 2:8 reminds us, for by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. There's nothing we can do to receive the gift of God. A gift is free. But we do have to believe on that gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to believe by faith that God can do anything for us. We have to walk by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And we walk as Christians by faith, believing that God's going to help me, that God's going to be there for me. God will give me the resources I need to live a successful life. That's what God told Joshua. The only way Joshua was going to have success going into the promised land is if he would stay true to the word of God, that he would follow God and not let the word of God depart out of his mouth. And the Bible tells us in Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is essential for the Christian life. You and I, as God's people, have to walk by faith. It's not blind faith. It's not, you know, me closing my eyes and seeing how close I can get to the edge of the steps before I fall off, right? Faith is trusting in Christ and following the one who's leading you, all right? The Christian faith is following the Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, James mentions three types of faith, though. There's only one true faith that saves. There's only one true faith that will lead you in all righteousness. There's only one true faith that will lead you down the straight and narrow path that has the blessings of God on it. But the first one he mentions is in verses 14 through 17, which he says basically is a dead faith. Notice what it says. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I truly believe that every pew I sit in, and even these chairs, will hold me up. If you pay attention, you'll rarely see anybody go up to one of these pews or a chair and, you know, and kind of test it out and, hey, Bob, come over here and sit down, see if it'll hold you up, because if it holds you up, it'll hold me up, right? No, we have the faith, we just sat down, right? How many of you this morning thought about where you were sitting before you sat down and wondered, huh, is it going to hold me up? All right. And if you did, it's because, you know, these pews are old and they're falling apart, right? But you think about a dead faith. He says, you can have faith, but you got to put it to work. All right? Let's just use an example. Okay? As far as I know, all of you drove here today. You got in some car and you came. Did it get you here? Were you worried it wouldn't get you here? No, because, you know, you just trusted your car. It's got gas. It's the engine's running, so it's going to get me here. I mean, there's so many things that we can use an example that truly you're living by faith every day. I don't know, were you scared last night when you went to sleep, wondering, am I going to wake up? There are some people that are scared if they're going to wake up or not. Most people just close their eyes and, hey, you know, you wake up and it's like, you kind of, I knew I was going to wake up. And you go about your day. There's just, faith needs to have works for a Christian. Don't have a dead faith. This faith, this dead faith, substitutes words for deeds. Well, I trust God. I trust he'll provide for me, but you never let him. You're always doing things in your own strength. You're always trying to figure things out because, oh, I trust God, but I don't know if he's going to come through. People with dead faith know the correct words to say even in prayer. They even know the right Bible verses to quote. But their walk does not measure up to their talk. If we truly trust the Lord, our life will show it. This dead faith really is only an intellectual faith. In one's mind, he or she knows the doctrine of salvation, but they have never really submitted themselves to God and trusted in Christ for salvation. Realize there are people that know, as we call it, the Romans Road, but yet they're not saved. Again, I keep forgetting this man's name, but Peter might know. I believe it was a German man that was an atheist. He knew the Gospels. He could quote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all to debate Christians, but he died an atheist. He knew the Word of God, but he died an atheist. Paul was an atheist before he got saved on the road to Damascus. He was killing Christians. He was trying to stamp out the name of Christ and stamp out the doctrines of Christ, but Jesus showed up to him and changed his thinking and changed his doctrine and changed his life. Again, we may know certain truths of the Bible, but if we're not living it, then it's just dead faith. It's just dead faith. Can this type of faith save anybody? This dead faith that it's an intellectual faith. I know what God's word says, but I'm not really trusting it. I'm not really believing it. In John chapter 2, look at verse 17, verse 20 and 26, because the answer is no. This type of faith, dead faith, can't save anyone, and there's a lot of people that possess this faith. They went to church. They know what the Bible says. They can quote scripture, but they're not saved. In verse number 17, Bible says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Something changes in a person's life when Jesus Christ comes into their life. Something changes, all right? Something changes. In verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? All right, faith without works. In verse number 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. All right, dead faith is a counterfeit faith, and it lulls the person to sleep in pretending and having confidence in eternal life that they truly do not possess. All right, this type of faith is merely just a bunch of talk, and it does not amount to real faith or real salvation. Look, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. Again, someone can claim the name of Christ but not have the Spirit of God in them. You realize if you really have the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to be worried about death. Death is not going to bother you, because you know where you're going to spend eternity. If you truly have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to have the Prince of Peace in you. You're going to have peace that passeth all understanding. Something's going to be different in your life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Only Jesus Christ gives life. Remember, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. The second faith that he mentions is found in verses 18 and 19, which is a demonic faith. There's a dead faith and there is a demonic faith. Notice verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. I've talked to people, I believe in God, I believe in the big man upstairs, but do you believe in his son, Jesus Christ? The devils believe also, they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. All right, the devils believe, they tremble because they know who their creator is. All right, we know that in the other passages, look at, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I don't want to keep you too long this morning. The Bible says, so then, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm back up here. Mark chapter 3, look at Mark chapter 3. Keep a finger in James chapter 2, but go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, look at verses 11 and 12. Mark chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Because it's not enough just to know God. It's not enough just to know Jehovah. There are a lot of religious people that worship God. They worship Jehovah. But they refuse to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. You realize that Jesus says that there will be many in the days, the last days, that when they stand before the great white throne judgment of God, they will say, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? We've cast out demons, we've fed the hungry, we did all these things. But they'll hear Jesus say, I never knew you. Now, yes, good works do follow our faith, and they should, but a lot of people do good things in the name of God, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't know him personally as our Lord and Savior. You realize there's a lot of people that are morally upright, that would give you the shirt off of their back, that would do things for you, bend over backwards, whatever you need, they're always there, but they're not saved. Because it's not good works that saves you. It is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But once you are saved, good works should follow us. We should have a desire because we realize my life has been spared by Christ. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have the gift of eternal life because of Jesus Christ, because of his faithfulness to the Father to finish the will. The will of the Father was to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. You know what? Someone saved my life. Somebody saved me from death. I owe my life to them. People do that all the time. People whose lives are spared and rescued by a police officer, a firefighter, a stranger, just someone coming by, sees a car wreck and is willing to help them and it saves their life and they feel indebted to that person. They want to do something to repay that person. Well, the Christian should have that mindset as well. We're not paying for the gift of salvation, but we are repaying his love with our love. We're repaying his love that he showed us with our love to him by the things we do. Because we're grateful that we have been saved from the wrath to come. Again, Mark chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, unclean spirits, when they saw him, Jesus, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God, and he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. I mean, again, you read through the Gospels, and when Jesus was dealing with people possessed with demons, the demons would speak out and say, are you here to torment us before the time? In Luke chapter 8, verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. This is the account of the demoniac of Gadara, who had, it seems, 2,000 demons in him. Because when Jesus gave the demons leave out of the man, the Bible records that they entered into 2,000 swine that were nearby, 2,000 pigs that were nearby, and they ran violently off of the cliff and drowned in the sea. You know what? Demons do believe in Jesus, that he is the judge. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gennesarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" I'm just reminding us this morning that even the devils believe in Jesus. They know who he is. They fall down because he has authority over them. And they know that their time is short and they will be cast into what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Their judgment is coming. Just because you might believe in God or a God does not mean that you are saved and on your way to heaven. Does not mean you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't allow yourself to be fooled by even television evangelists and TV preachers that have large crowds, but they do not talk to them about the blood of Christ. Again, just to have the name of Christian tacked on does not mean it is of God. God has given us a faith that is a discerning faith because it is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us of his Spirit, right? So again, what kind of faith do demons have, right? They have a dead faith, and they have a faith that really is intellectual because they know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They know that he died for the sins of the world, right? They tremble at the presence of Jesus. They tremble at the presence of God. But regardless, dead faith, demonic faith, do you have the dynamic faith that James talks about? Look at verse 20 through 26. And listen, I'm just going to say this. If you truly are a child of God, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your life will show it. Your life will show it. Your actions will show where your faith is based upon or who your faith is based upon. All right? Dynamic faith. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And he gives two illustrations, Abraham and Rahab. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Remember that in the Old Testament where God tempted Abraham and said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice your only begotten son. Because Isaac was the promised son. Abraham and Sarah being old in age, up in their 90s, Abraham 100, and they didn't have children, and God blessed them with Isaac, their own son, and yet it's a picture of the Father, the Heavenly Father, giving up his own son. But when Abraham did, and you read it in the Old Testament, Abraham went to Mount Moriah, he built an altar, he put the wood in order, he bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar, and took the dagger in his hand, was about to slay his son as an offering to the Lord. God's not into human sacrifice, but he was testing Abraham's faith, because when Abraham got all the way, you know, that's when God knows that you truly do trust him, is when God allows you to go all the way to the last second. Abraham's got the knife in the air, and a voice from heaven says, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Read that in the Old Testament. Read that in the book of Genesis. And Abraham looked behind him, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. He didn't notice the ram before. God blinded him from seeing the ram, seeing the substitute for his son, because Abraham will take the ram and put it in the place of Isaac, and the ram is sacrificed. A picture of Jesus being the substitute for every sinner. God's only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. James uses Abraham as an example to the people, to the believers, because Abraham, it was accounted unto him for righteousness, verse 23 tells us. Abraham had a dynamic faith. Because when you read that account of Abraham, he didn't question God. He didn't fight over God. He didn't resist God. He didn't even drag his feet on obeying God. The Bible says he got up early the next morning and he set off to accomplish what God had asked him to do. And he saw that God was faithful. God promised him a son. God wanted Abraham to be willing to give that son back. He saw Abraham's faith in action, and he allowed Abraham to leave that mountain with his son. Then he mentions Rahab. If you remember the Old Testament, Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute living in the city of Jericho. And Joshua sends in two spies to Jericho, and she, believing in God, hearing about all the wonderful things that God has done for his people, she took those spies and hid them in her home because the men of the city were sent to take those men. They knew spies had come in. They came to Rahab's apartment, came to her house. Her house was on the city wall, and she had hid them up on her roof, and she said, you know, they're not here. They fled. You know, they got out of town. You know, pursue after them. You'll catch them. All right? She protected because of faith. Notice what it says in verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. All right? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Rahab heard what God had done for his people. She even told those messengers, the hearts of the men of the city have melted because we've heard. Now, people hear the great things that God has done. In the days of Jesus walking upon this earth during his ministry, leading up to the cross of Calvary, he would give sight to the blind. He would heal the lame. He would raise some from the dead. He would cleanse the lepers. And there were those that would believe on him because of what they saw him do. Others believed on him because of what they heard him say. Because he was determined to go through a certain town of Samaria because there was a woman there that needed to be saved. She was a fornicator. She was an adulterer. She slept around with men. And Jesus went to the well there at this town. And this woman came out and was talking to him. And Jesus was talking back, and she even, you know, the Jews are like, you know, some Jews are just like other people. They're prejudiced. Because the unnamed woman speaks to Jesus and says, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? Because the Samaritans were, they were a cross between Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews wanted no dealings with them. They would purposely walk around their city. If it took them hours or even a day to go all the way around their city, they would do it just so they didn't get the dust of their city on their feet. That's how much they were disliked. You realize that Jesus did not die for a certain race or a certain skin color. He died for the souls of men and women. Men, women, and children. He died for the souls of females and males. Only two genders. He died for the souls. And he purposely went to that town because a woman needed to be saved. And Jesus made a striking statement or a question to the woman. He told her, go get your husband. He says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus responds, you're right, you don't. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. See, Jesus knows everything about every single person. Because when he said that, she responds with, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And Jesus is more than a prophet. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the only door. He's the only access to God the Father. He's the only access into eternity, into eternal life, where there is joy and no more death, no more sorrow, no more hungering. This dynamic faith that even Rahab had, going back to her, she believed what she heard about God and she was willing to put her life on the line to protect these two men that were sent in by Joshua to spy out the city. And James uses Abraham and Rahab because they were two different people. Abraham, if you remember, Abraham was a man that followed God. He trusted God from the beginning. Rahab was someone who lived a life of sin, but when she heard about God and heard about the things that he was doing, she put her faith in him, and she put her faith in action. Again, our faith will always show in our life. What we say, what we do, whatever your faith is, it will be evident in your life. Do you truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Your life will show the evidence. Do you truly believe that God loves you? Your life will show evidence. In Matthew chapter 22, the Bible says, Jesus said, or one of the disciples said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." It is. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it talks about loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. True faith, true dynamic faith, all of you, every bit of you is put into that faith. What you think, what you say, what you do, your entire heart is put into it. Because your mind understands the truth, the heart desires and rejoices in the truth, and your will, which is of the Father, acts upon that truth. True dynamic faith that comes from the Lord shows in your thoughts, in your desires, and in your actions. James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I don't know about you, but there is coming a day where we are going to stand before the Lord, and I'd rather hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," instead of, "Depart from me, thou that workest iniquity, I never knew you." It's not about being baptized. I've baptized people before that would leave the church after and never have any fruit in their life that they were saved. And somebody, "Oh, well, pastor, well, you should have known they were saved or not." I'm not the judge. Someone gives me a testimony of salvation, sounds like you're saved. You want to follow in believer's baptism? Follow Jesus Christ? And then they do, but then their life never shows the fruit of it. You realize there are people that can go to church from the moment of conception because, you know, their mother is in church and they're in the womb and they grow up going to church, Sunday school, all of this. They even go off to Bible college, all of that. But then their life shows no fruit. Because it's not about having the name Christ attached to your life. It's about the faith. Faith will be evident in your life and my life. And I bring this out today because, listen, whether you want to believe it or not, we're living in the last days the Bible talks about. You see things just progressing to the end, just things getting worse and worse and worse. Might be 20 years, 50 years from now, I don't know. But the Bible calls us to live every day as though today could be the day the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise up, and those which are alive rise up with them. You and I have to draw a circle around ourselves. I can't make you do what's right. You can't make me do what's right. You can't make someone else do what's right. You have control of yourself, and I have control of myself. To live out our faith so it appears to all. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Is your life right now helping anybody to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it helping them to deny the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll be honest. I tell the Lord all the time, "Please help me. I don't want to lead somebody astray. I don't want to say something that's not right. I don't want to have a testimony that helps them reject Christ." People reject Jesus on their own, but I don't want to be their excuse, right? I want to be found faithful. I want to have a dynamic faith, but I can't do it on my own. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit takes residence in a person's life after they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need help to live this life. We need help to trust the Lord, to follow the Lord. Because we all have our bad days where, you know, we're tempted to doubt. We're tempted to, Lord, do you really care? Because even though the disciples would see the miracles, and they would see the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000, because Jesus made them take the five loaves, the two fish, and go distribute it to the 5,000 hungry men. And they saw the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They didn't just get a little bit. The Bible records that they were filled, and they went and gathered up the leftovers. Even though they saw the miracles with their own eyes, yet in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, in the boat with Jesus, in the boat, they cry out, Lord, carest thou not for us that we perish? We all have those moments where we doubt whether or not God loves us, but our faith should kick in and say, wait, no, I know he does, because he's already shown me his ultimate love on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood for my sin. He took my penalty upon him so I wouldn't have to. When you look at Romans chapter 10, somebody had to die. Do you realize somebody has to die in order for America to keep its freedom? Somebody has to stand up for what's right. Somebody has to stand up for freedom. And we have men and women that do it all the time. Our military men and women do it all the time. Some are wounded and come home. Others lose their life on the battlefield. But we try not to forget them. We try to honor them, and that's what Memorial Day is all about. But as a child of God, never forget the one who purposely died for you, who purposely laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, who purposely allowed his body to be mutilated, purposely allowed himself to go through the scourging of the Roman soldiers and his beard being ripped out and him being hit on the head with a reed and him being nailed to a cross. Don't believe these Catholic statues where they have Jesus roped to a cross. He wasn't roped. The Bible says he was nailed to a cross after he was scourged beyond recognition. I don't know of a human being that would do that for me. Now, there are those that, you know, peradventure, I mean, they'll die for a good person. There are people that put their life on the line every day to save somebody else. I hear stories of fathers jumping in and trying to save a drowning child, and the child is saved, but the father drowns to death after saving the child's life. There's people that will put their life on the line for somebody else, but there's not a single person who would die for everybody. As a father, I'll put my life on the line for my children. I'll put my life on the line for my wife. And if the Lord sees fit, I'll try to help somebody else. But to die purposely for every single person around the world because of their sin, Jesus, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, he never sinned a single day he was walking on this earth, robed in flesh, but yet the Bible says that all sin was poured out on him on the cross of Calvary. What is your faith in this morning? Is your faith a dead faith? Do you have knowledge of Jesus and what the Bible says, but that's it? Is it a demonic faith that, well, I know there's a God? Or is it a dynamic faith that you know there's a God and you know Jesus Christ, who said that he was the way, the truth, the life, right? He's the only door. In fact, you know what? Go with me to John chapter 14. It really does matter what faith we have and what faith our life is built upon. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." As Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on that given day, he's speaking to us as well on this day, that he has gone to prepare a place for those who have put their faith and trust in him and his finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection. Because Romans chapter 10 reminds us, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Again, he didn't die for just the Jews. He didn't die just for the Gentiles. He didn't die just for the white man or the yellow man or the red man or the black man. He died for all. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This dynamic faith is a saving faith. It does take faith to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did, dying for our sins, being buried, being raised again. We read that in the scriptures that Jesus raised from the dead. But the question is, how far does your faith go? Do you have a dynamic faith that continues to live your life for the Lord, regardless of what other relatives do or say, that claim to be a Christian, but they're not going to church, they're not reading their Bible, they're not doing what God tells them to do? What about your faith? The psalmist said this, and again, I'm not the judge. I'm not here to tell you if you have a dead faith, demonic faith, or dynamic faith. That's between you and the Lord. And the psalmist said it this way: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, my faith isn't what it should be. Maybe you do believe. Maybe you do have faith, but you're struggling. You're struggling stepping over that line and really giving all your faith to the Lord. There was an account in scripture where a father came to Jesus because his son needed help. And Jesus said to the father, "Believest thou? Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can heal your son?" The father said, "I believe." The Bible says he said it with tears. "I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." He believed that Jesus could, but he still had a struggle whether or not he would. Because I'm human too. I know that God can do anything for me. And there's times where I kind of doubt if he will. One more place I want you to look at. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was just an ordinary man. He was zealous for his religion before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Then he was zealous for the Lord for the rest of his life. He was zealous for Jesus Christ. And Paul was human like us. He had his struggles in his life. And in chapter 12, he calls it a thorn. There was a thorn in his flesh. He called it the messenger of Satan that would buffet him. Because what does Satan want to do? Discourage you? Cause you to doubt? Cause you to give up on the Lord? Cause you not to believe? He wants you to lose faith completely in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He sought the Lord three times to take away this thorn in the flesh, that it might depart from me. And he, Jesus, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't leave his children alone. When you need help, he's there to help you. He's there to give you of his strength. So it's okay to be weak. Lots of people don't want to be weak. They want to be strong. They don't want people to see their weakness. But you realize that Jesus is strong in our weakness. It is our weakness that he uses to show us how great he is. And when Paul hears the words of Jesus say, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, he hears those words of Jesus saying, I'm not taking away the thorn in the flesh, because my strength is going to help you to endure what you are being inflicted with, what you're suffering with. But Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you see the power of Christ in your life? If you don't, it might be because you don't have dynamic faith. Your faith really isn't based in Jesus Christ. Your faith is based in situations you want changed. And because those situations haven't been changed, your faith has weakened in the Lord. When Paul heard basically no to his request for the thorn to be removed, he said, okay, that's fine. Because I'd rather have the power of Christ upon my life. I'd rather have my relationship intact with the Lord and his strength helping me to accomplish God's will for my life. True faith is not based upon situations changing. It's based upon the one who's in control. So this morning, as you go ahead and stand, and we close in a word of prayer, ask the Lord to reveal to you, do you have a dead faith, a demonic faith, or a dynamic faith? Do you really see the power of God in your life? Because the way you see the power of God in your life is by things in your life changing. They said this of Peter and the disciples. They were ignorant fishermen, but they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. Something was different. They knew their occupation. They knew who they were, but there was something different about their life because they had spent time with Christ. Their life had been transformed by the power of Christ.